100% concentrated power.
Well, I think that obviously it's a tough league, there's no doubt. Obviously in the West, all of that brings into it. You know, for me personally, I think the biggest challenges we had was just coming in, getting an evaluation of what talent we had, getting them to adjust to the schemes that we were going to bring, offense, defense, special teams, and then just working ourselves through as a staff the things that are the high points of Arkansas and also some difficulties you need to work through. I tell you what, I think about the question, I get this one a lot, you know, obviously taking over Arkansas versus Wisconsin. One of the greatest benefits that I had in my previous institution is I was the defensive coordinator in that school for 2 years before I knew I was going to be the head coach or before I was in that role. And I got to see all of the dynamics of academics, administration, the media, the alumni, the landmines that were buried that you didn't uncover until they hit. So I kind of had a great perception of what that job was before I ever stepped into the head coaching role. And you mentioned those three teams there, and obviously Auburn's had success. And, you know, the advantage that Gus had, obviously, was being there for a couple of years and understanding a lot about Auburn before he got there. So that's some stuff. I think that's the biggest hiccup new coaches go through in their first couple of years is just finding out all the nastiness that you have to find out about the job before you get there and kind of finding those hidden landmines.
Welcome into the zone and welcome to the SEC, Brett Bielema. Off week for the Hogs, but we are celebrating Razorback stuff here at Jim's Razorback Pizza, Highway 10 location, Justin Acri, Nate Olson of Sync Weekly, brand new edition, and actually talking about some cool things from around Arkansas in this week's edition that we'll get into coming up in a little bit here. But sure. Brett Bielema getting his comeuppance, and hopefully he never has a year like he's having this year at the University of Arkansas with an unprecedented losing streak and a lot of negativity, unfortunately. If this was anything but his first year, this would be a very unpleasant job to do because I think, while I don't think it's apathy, I do think people are so willing to accept the fact that this was going to be a tough year that they are almost sort of trying to separate themselves from it as much as they can because it's in your face so often.
Yeah, I think everybody's ready for it to be over, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, and we said that last year early. I think it's taken a little bit longer this year. And then last year was totally different because of the expectations and the controversy. I think the biggest thing people are discouraged with is they don't see the improvement. And, you know, their case is, or their argument to that is, hey, it's not that much talent here. You know, we gotta add some more talent.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, I think some guys are developing. I mean, I think it's safe to say that Alex Collins is – I see him not being brought down by tackles that brought him down early. I mean, there were a lot of ankle tackles that he seemingly went down on early in the season. I don't see that as much now. I am encouraged by a lot of the things I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And again, when you consider the talent gap, you consider the first-year coaches, you consider the fact they had a short window to recruit in, and the fact that they're competitive against Ole Miss. They were competitive for most of the game against Auburn, competitive against an A&M team with a high-flying offense. I'm encouraged by what I see, and I don't think that's looking at it, you know, in any sort of unreasonable way.
Right,
I think it's going to be good going forward. Mm-hmm. Again, I think for the time being, if all things stay the same as far as coaching staffs go, there are going to be a lot of toss-up games,
yeah,
and you're going to have to win the majority of those to have a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama's going to be virtually unbeatable for the foreseeable future.
Yep.
And you just pray LSU has a young defense every so often, so you're going to have a good look at them. And even when they don't, Arkansas's had more than their share of success against LSU.
I think we were guilty of there was a lot of rah-rah and there were speeches all over the state and everybody thought, well, hey, I think maybe this is a 3 or 4 win ball club, but he's a good enough coach, got this awesome staff. We'll win 6.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think a lot of people thought. And then you win the opener against a pretty good mid-major team that way, and then you win, you know, a couple more games, and then you lose to Rutgers, and it's kind of been downhill. But when you look at who is there and how long they could potentially be there, this young talent, and, you know, when you go out there now and you're getting your lumps, that translates next year and the year after into really making you battle-tested. So you're going to have a really veteran football team in a couple of years. It's the year now and then maybe next year where you kind of suffer a little bit, but that's how you build a program. And I think everybody can agree that there was going to be some building and maybe now a little bit more building than we thought.
Well, the thing I will say is, you know, and the point is a year older is not always a year better. But when you see guys playing at a very high level, these are not below average players as far as the young guys go. Alec Collins is above average.
Sure.
Hunter Henry, Phylon. You know, they're not all freshmen, but they're all young.
Yeah.
Corliss Marshall. There are so many guys that are young, whether they're freshmen, redshirt freshmen, or even sophomores, that are contributing at a high level. The two linemen that are starting as freshmen.
I mean,
those guys are gaining experience, another year in the weight program. and other talent to join them going forward. You know, you got to get some help probably from the JUCO level to get some immediate effect, but yeah. Hopefully you'll have some freshmen next year that come in and compete and contribute.
And Wally wrote a column that I very much agree with about, you know, you've got to get some more four-star guys in there, or at the very least, you got to get some J.J. Watts that you can develop, and because you've got a good core there. But now you've got to go out and recruit, and now it may be a little tougher to recruit when you've had two kind of bad years, not kind of, you've had some bad, two bad years in a row now, and you've lost one guy already to A&M. So you've got to go out there and really, really win the recruiting battle this year, and I think you're obviously focused on this season because you've got to finish it out, but I think that is definitely on their mind, these guys that are kind of in between convincing them, selling them, and hey, we had the lumps this year, but this is a program on the rise. You got to come here and be a part of something special because you've got some guys there that you can kind of anchor. And now if you can bring in a couple more classes, then you know they can compete in the SEC. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I really think the concept is, and again, here's the point I hate to make because it bothers people that want to talk about national championships, which, look, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibilities. It's just going to be a while.
Yeah.
Let's try to win, you know, a sizable enough games, number of games to make the postseason.
Let's
first
get bowl eligible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's step by step, but yep. You don't have to beat Alabama to have a great year.
No.
Let me repeat that. You don't have to beat Alabama to have a great year. That's the thing we get hung up on. Well, gee, we're so far apart from Alabama. Well, we may not see a run like Alabama's having again ever the rest of our lives.
Who in the country isn't far away from Alabama? And I think they'll probably waltz right into the national championship game and win that by a couple touchdowns if everything we've seen comes, you know, to fruition like it has.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason to doubt that the way things have gone this year.
I don't think you have to beat LSU on an average year to have a really good year.
No.
I mean, it's still 10 wins that are potentially out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you win 8 or 9 games, that's a really good year, especially when you consider the rest of the schedule you're playing. That includes teams like Ole Miss, Auburn on the rise. I don't know how long they can stay at the level they're at right now.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll learn more about them when they play Alabama here in a couple of
weeks.
That's
going to be a really interesting game.
But anyway, a lot of things there to think about, but I'm encouraged. I think it's going to be fun, and I think you can play good football more consistently in this style than you could in the previous style, and I think you can make it stand up, and I think these guys definitely understand recruiting. My biggest question is, and I go back to something we talked about weeks ago, how long can you keep this staff together? Because
yeah.
The Partridges, the Randy Shannons, those guys, I think, extremely valuable in the recruiting trail and certainly proven coaches as well.
I agree, and that's going to be back to, up to Coach Bielema to recruit in a different way, to bring in
only Pittman, good, too. I mean, Pittman is making $500,000, so outside of getting an offensive coordinator job, I think he's pretty safe.
I think
he's
going to stay there, yeah. But Shannon, I definitely could see somebody calling for him, and he said he doesn't want a head coaching job, but that's a little different story when somebody's coming after you asking you to.
One of the more disturbing things I woke up and saw this morning, was on Twitter, the story regarding Jameis Winston. And this story, to me, is bothersome. And, Nate, I'm telling you, when I got into media 15 years ago, mm-hmm. this kind of thing didn't happen.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you've got a story out about a kid by some accuser for something that happened many, many months ago.
Yep.
No charges ever filed, not against him or anyone else. And then his name gets connected to it this morning.
Yeah.
In publications all over the country. The only reason I'm talking about it is because every major news outlet is giving it some sort of credence or attention.
Yeah.
Whether or not they think there's some legitimate issue with Jameis Winston doing something illegal, wrong, untowards, whatever, whether mm-hmm. it's something very minor or something very major, the fact that it's being talked about is bothersome. I don't think 15 years ago this would have been talked about. Unless there are charges filed, the guy's name should not be put out there. And when you talk about sexual assault, it's not like a DUI. It's not like stealing something. It's not like, you know, getting involved in a fight. Sexual assault carries with it such a horrible, horrible stigma for somebody who is accused. And look, if you're guilty of it, absolutely.
Yeah.
And people will think about you differently for the rest
of
your life.
Sure.
But to be connected to something that you may not have had anything to do with, to me, is unfair. And you cannot undo all the harm that is done. You can undo a lot of it because there are people that go, well, wait a minute, is something going on here? But if they prove it out that, oh, wait, there's nothing, he has nothing to do with it, most of the people will get that message.
Yeah.
Seemingly, though, everybody gets the message on the front end that this guy may have done something wrong.
Yeah, and I think I maybe make the argument that if this guy was a third-team quarterback at Florida State, this doesn't get brought up at all. There's no, you know, it's when you're in the limelight, when you're somebody who is winning, doing something like that, you've seen that happen. Mudslinging accusations, and certainly if that happened, that's different. I mean, we don't want to undermine something like that. It's very serious. But if it's something that somebody's kind of throwing something against the wall to make it stick, if they're doing that to a smear campaign for his Heisman or whatever. But I think, you know, if he's a random, you know, redshirt freshman quarterback there, I don't know if this is brought up. I don't know.
Here is the comment from the university. We are aware of a matter that was investigated by the Tallahassee Police Department almost a year ago, mind you. Because the investigation has not been closed by TPD, we cannot comment further at this time. We look forward to a speedy resolution of the issue. There is no change in Jameis Winston's status. Coach Jimbo Fisher and Jameis will be answering questions about football only until there is a resolution. So there is an acknowledgement, at least, by the university. Here's what we know about the incident report. Mm-hmm. It was filed December 7th, almost a year ago.
Yep.
And we were told, or the reports indicate, that in February is when they sort of told the university, look, there's nothing to this, move on.
Yeah.
It happened, the incident was received, I guess the complaint was received at 4 o'clock in the morning. There was information gathered. It says, among the details listed, it's a black male, 5'9 to 5'11, weighing at least 240 pounds of black hair, brown eyes, muscular build, hair that is black, straight, and short. That's all we know about the suspect. Well, everybody understands, I think, that Jameis Winston is 6'4", and that would not be close. That does not mean that this person didn't miscalculate on the height,
yeah.
But it also seems a bit of a stretch to drag his name into. There has to be more to the story about
yeah.
how his name got connected to it. Maybe we'll learn more about that. What bothers me, though, is we're not close to charges, and this thing has been sitting out there for so long. So, hey, jockstrap to the police department for not having a little speedier result in this deal
yeah.
because it should have been put to bed by now, or there should have
sure.
been charges brought by now. And also, you know, really I have to give a jockstrap to the media outlets that are reporting it because to me, again, yes, his name might be connected to it. But until there's a charge filed to besmirch this kid's reputation is troublesome and bothersome. And it's hard not to because there's such a keep up with everybody else society. The same ethics that we try to meet in radio, TV, newspaper are not met or kept by people in the blogosphere.
Yeah.
So stuff that was reported on the internet, then you feel a need sometimes, I think, by these legitimate news outlets to sort of get out there with it because the information is available and you know he's been connected to it. And then it's further legitimized by the university, you know, releasing a statement. It's just really unfortunate. I hope nothing comes of it. And if it does, you know, certainly he's going to face the consequences. But if there's nothing that comes of this, if there are no charges, if it is a mistaken identity, if his name should not have been connected to it, some damage can be undone. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, everybody's a journalist, and not everybody has a journalism degree, unfortunately. You know, it seems like today you've got a Twitter account, you've got a blog, you're breaking news, even though, you know, I don't go out and try to fight crime. I'm not a cop.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know.
I don't want you breaking broken news, though.
Yeah.
I don't want you trying to break news that isn't legitimate. That's
yeah,
that,
well, and that's what I'm saying. And there's somebody out there that's trying to make a name for themselves. But, hey, I'm going to put on here that he's been investigated or whatever, and so everybody will come to my blog. I think a lot of that's happening. And, you know, if he's being investigated for it and he's questioned, I mean, I think that is news. But you've got to be very careful how you report that. And I don't think, like you said, a lot of people are not very careful with how they report.
Well, our arena is a little different than what the one I used to work in. But in TV, you know, when I worked in TV, the policy we followed was, if there isn't a charge filed,
yeah.
there isn't a story.
Okay.
You know, accusations, questioning, all those things, unless it's legitimized by an actual charge being filed, you don't do it. Because, again, that's not a road you want to start down and then have to backtrack on. I just think it's
yeah.
really unfortunate.
Well, like, so if you know that he's going down there for questioning on an incident, you guys would not have reported that?
Well, but again, I mean, if he's talking to authorities, maybe he's got a friend who's involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe his friend's the... But again, when you just leave it open-ended like this and you have no more information, it makes it look like maybe he had something to do with it.
Well, that's true, and you're right. He could be just going... Yeah. And that may be what happened. Maybe there was an incident that he was there, but he didn't, you know, and that's why he was talking to him, and then they said, hey, he's not... You tell the university, the police do that we're no longer looking into him. And so everybody says, okay, and now it gets brought up again.
Game ball to Baylor this morning. putting the controversy to bed before it begins. Art Briles, 58, signing a 10-year deal. Normally I'm against these things, but I can't imagine Baylor doing a whole lot better than having Art Briles there.
No.
Everybody's going to be after him. There's nothing official, but the talk is that the contract is around $4 million. My question would be, number one, what do you think? What do you think is my number one question about his contract?
The buyout.
Exactly. How much is his buyout? That's all I want to know. Is I don't care how much he's making. I want to know how much his buyout is.
Yeah.
Is it enough to keep other teams away? I'm going to guess if Baylor's smart, and I assume that they are, it's huge.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be in the $15, $20 million range for the first couple of years.
Well, and for him, you know, you've built this thing. Baylor, you know.
Yeah, they got him a new stadium. I mean, they're doing all the things you could ever ask as a head
and
coach.
You're in Texas, and the University of Texas is down. A&M's doing well, but you're a key player in Texas right now. It's a good time to be there. Who knows what they're going to do this year? They're in on pace to make some history, and I think he's probably thinking, I don't know if I can go somewhere else that I'm in that good a situation. So let's ink it up.
If you are a stud quarterback, running back, receiver, even lineman, there aren't too many offenses you'd rather play in than that.
No.
Especially if you're a Texas kid.
Yeah, I was going to say those are grown on trees in Texas.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's it.
And if you can win and you're in Texas, it used to be you went to Texas. And I think that day is coming back again. I think if they get the right coach there. And we were talking last week with Edward Ashoff. I really do think if Saban went to Texas, it would not take him very long to win a national championship there. I think the talent is there. The facilities are there. They're missing a coach. And so he goes there, and I don't think it'd be, I'd bet that he'd win 8 or 9 games the first year or two, and then he'd win a national title. He's good.
In a related story, Mack Brown could still win the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, true.
So that game against Baylor in a couple of weeks is going to be huge, obviously. And Baylor does have a huge hurdle at Oklahoma State before they get to Texas.
Yeah.
This week they play Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be reasonably high scoring, I would think. But Texas Tech has been shut down this year. Baylor has not been shut down. They've been slowed down a couple of times, but not shut down.
Yeah.
The thing about Baylor is, too, we talk about the offense all the time. I just went on and on about how would you love to play for them. But defensively, they're much better than they get credit for.
Yeah.
So let's take a couple calls here. David. David. Hate starting first call with nobody on the line, but I do know Tide fan Steve will hang in there. What's up, buddy?
Tide fan Steve will hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, great show. I do think that y'all are hitting the nail on the head about these people that go out there and, you know, try to break stories and things of that nature and don't really have any credibility. The one thing that really gets me sometimes, though, is people that, you know, they'll sometimes break a story and then you don't see any follow-up after it.
True.
And I just, you know, I mean, so, and I know, Matt, you do a good job on Think and stuff like that, and you've broken a couple of things, and you followed up on a couple of things, but, man, I'd love to know about the follow-up from the one you broke a week ago tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's coming. I think it's coming soon.
Well, cool, because I got a good feeling of a hunch, and I just wish best of luck to both of y'all, and y'all are doing a great job up there. And roll Tide. We're going to keep it rolling the rest of the year, I hope.
So. Tide fan Steve, are you worried about this week?
Mississippi State, not as worried about the Auburn game, of course, because it's a rivalry game. But I'm, you know, playing at Mississippi State with those cowbells, I'm just glad I'm not going, because that place. I went to Ole Miss this past weekend.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, Ole Miss, the Grove, and all the fun, the tailgating before was a good time, but that stadium is horrible. And Starkville, I thought, was horrible, but now they're doing some renovations. But the one thing that makes Starkville the worst place in the world to watch a game is those darn cowbells.
There's no question. I hope that they beat the crap out of Mississippi State. I hope they hurt their feelings and take away their manhood so badly that they don't even have the gumption to try to beat Arkansas next week. By the way, I don't know if you heard the stat yesterday, Mississippi State has won exactly 0 times in Arkansas against the U of A.
Wow. Well, I'll be
they tied once.
Are y'all going to have the Buzz tailgate before the Mississippi State game?
We are having breakfast with the Buzz, my friend. 8 a.m. the tailgate starts next week at War Memorial Stadium. David Basil and I and whoever else wants to hang in there. Trey will be over in Maui. We'll be freezing our butts off at 7:30 with the pregame show down there at the tailgate. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to get to double dip next week. I'm going to hang out with the Arkansas fans, and I'm going to head up to Conway.
Nice.
And do the color analysis for UCA's final home game. So it's going to be a big day for me next weekend.
It'll be fun.
Well, that was a great Tide fan Steve drop in for the Buzz tailgate. Even though I can't compare anywhere close to Matty P.
Dynamite drop-in Tide fan, Steve. That broadcasting school is really paying off. Are you going to come by next week?
Yeah, I'll be there. My wife and I'll be by there next week.
Okay, you either need a ticket from a First Security Bank location near you, those tickets are free, or if you just walk up to the gate, pull your shirt off and show your tats, I'm sure they'll let you in.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, see you, buddy. He has the Alabama logo on one peck, and he has the elephant on his other peck.
Oh, my goodness.
I met him on the street in Fayetteville, and he comes up and he pulls his shirt down and shows me his tattoos on his chest. And then he just walks off, and my wife's like, who's that? Like, that's Tide fan Steve. And she goes, who the hell is that? I'm like, exactly. Yeah. But that she knows. She's been around this long enough to know. That's our listeners. I mean, they have their own personality. They've gotten to be known on the radio. Sterling was up this week doing a spot for Double B's.
Oh, I'd like to meet him. Oh. I've talked to him a few times.
Sterling's a great dude.
Yeah.
Sterling's a great dude. Hey, brilliant campaign, by the way, Ralph. Good work.
Yeah, those are good. I enjoy hearing those.
We are at Jim's Razorback Pizza. Doors open at 11. After they're actually... Oh, you're going to open now? Okay, you know what? In honor of the buzz, they're going to open 33 minutes early. What a deal. Come out and get you some. So if you're looking for lunch, or if you want to eat lunch here and then watch ESPN all day and hang out for dinner, what do we have tonight? We surely have some NBA games you can watch tonight on the big screen. Let's see here. They got TVs all over this place. I love coming out here. I've probably been in here, I don't know, 64 times with my family.
Yeah,
I
nice
love
it. Place.
Oh, we got college football tonight. Georgia Tech at Clemson. Remember when Clemson was relevant? Yeah, it was awesome. Morgan State at South Carolina State on ESPNU, and Marshall at Tulsa. In the NBA, you got Houston. They were without, who didn't play last night? Harden didn't play last night.
The Beard.
Night. Yep. Houston's at New York tonight. Oklahoma, oh, so Jeremy Lin going back to New York. There's a good game.
Yeah,
Oklahoma City at Golden State tonight. Those are both on TNT at 7 and 9:30 respectively in the NFL game tonight. Indianapolis at Tennessee. Indianapolis looking to rebound after getting run last week.
Yeah.
And Tennessee playing without starting quarterback Jake Locker, who is out for the season. So.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
He's
the backup. He threw for 260 last week.
That's it. Get your corned beef and cabbage. Go Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
He's a wee lad. We back. It is 10:28 in the zone. Justin Anker joined by Nate Olson. We are at Jim's Razorback Pizza, Highway 10. We got folks coming in for lunch already. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
This is SportsCenter.
A Heisman Trophy.